Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 lesson on building an offset old school DNB sampler rack for heavyweight sub impact. If you love that classic jungle and early drum and bass energy, this one is all about getting your low end to hit hard without turning into a muddy mess. We're going to build a playable rack that gives you tight sub hits, punchy sampled bass stabs, and enough movement to work in rollers, dark DNB, rag inspired sections, and drop accents. The big idea is simple. Instead of relying only on a synth bass, we'll use a sample-based source, offset the sample start to catch the strongest part of the waveform, then layer that with a clean sub and a bit of character processing. That gives you something that feels sampled, physical and old school, but still behaves like a modern production tool inside Ableton. First, choose the right source sample. You want something that already has low-end attitude. A short bass stab, a resampled 808 style hit, a muted synth bass note, a chop jungle loop, even a simple sine-like sub hit can work. What matters is that it has a strong fundamental and a clear attack. If the source is already meaty, the rack will enhance it. If it's weak and noisy, you'll spend all day trying to rescue it. Now load Ableton Simpler on a MIDI track and drag in your sample. For speed and flexibility, Simplifier is the best starting point here. Put it in classic mode, turn warp off, set voices to 1, and keep it monophonic. That keeps the playback direct and focused, which is exactly what you want for DNB hits. Here comes the key move, offset the sample start. This is where a lot of the magic happens. Low frequency samples often begin with a tiny bit of silence, a weak transient or a weird facey wobble before the useful body of the note. By moving the start marker forward in tiny increments, you can catch a stronger part of the waveform and get more solid impact. Zoom in on the waveform, move the start point a little at a time, and keep looping a short MIDI note while you listen. You're listening for more punch, more weight, and less clicky or soft attack. The goal is that instant, heavy feeling where the note just speaks immediately. But don't push it too far, because if you chop off too much, you'll lose the body of the sound. The sweet spot is usually just after the weak front edge, but before the fundamental gets cut away. Once the sample is feeling right, shape the amplitude envelope for a tight DNB impact. Keep the attack near zero, the decay fairly short, the sustain very low or off, and the release short as well. A good starting point is around 0 to 2 milliseconds attack, around 150 to 350 milliseconds decay, and a short release somewhere around 20 to 80 milliseconds. If you want it more stab-like and percussive, shorten the decay. If you want a rounder, heavier thud, lengthen it a bit. Just remember, in drum and bass, too much tail can start fighting the kick and snare really fast. Now we're going to give that sample a proper sub foundation. Create a second instrument chain and load operator. Set oscillator to a sine wave, keep it clean, and if needed transpose it down an octave or two. This layer should be pure, stable, and simple. No fancy movement, no unnecessary brightness, just a solid sine sub that holds the bottom in place. Give the operator layer its own short envelope, with zero attack, a decay that matches the sample layer, no sustain, and a short release. The idea is that the sample gives you the character, while operator gives you the consistency. That's a very common DNB trick, because it lets the sub feel strong across different notes without relying entirely on the sampled waveform. Now group both devices into an instrument rack. Select Simpler and Operator and group them together. Inside the rack, you now have a sample chain and a sub chain. Balance them carefully. A good starting point is to keep the sample chain a little lower and the sub chain even more controlled, because you want the sub to be felt more than heard. The sample should provide the attack and personality, while the sine layer fills out the bottom. On the sample chain, add some useful stock processing. EQ8 is a great first step. Use it gently. You can high pass very low rumble if needed, but don't carve away the real sub area by accident. If the sample is boxy, take a little out around the low mids. If there's harshness, tame that too. The point is cleanup, not sterilization. After EQ, add saturator. This is one of the biggest secrets to making bass translate on smaller speakers while still feeling huge in a club. A little drive goes a long way. Turn on soft clip if needed, and keep the output matched so you're hearing the tone change, not just a volume boost. A bit of harmonic distortion makes the bass feel thicker and more audible without needing to push raw sub energy below 40 Hz all the time. If the sample needs more punch, drum bus can help too, but be careful with the boom control. In drum and bass, it's easy to overdo that and suddenly your low end turns into a swamp. A small amount of transient enhancement can be great, though. You're looking for impact, not blur. On the operator sub chain, Keep things even cleaner. Use a Q8 if you need to remove any unwanted top end, and use saturator very lightly if you want some extra translation. Utility is also useful here, because the sub should stay mono. Keep the bottom centered and solid. Wide sub sounds impressive soloed, but they fall apart fast in a real mix. Now let's make this rack playable and useful in a real session. Map some macros. At minimum, I'd map sample start offset, decay, sub level, drive, tone, and release. If you want to get more performance-oriented, also map punch, sample level, and maybe a filter or width control for the upper layer. This is where the rack becomes an instrument instead of just a sound. You can move the start marker from dull to punchy, tighten or loosen the decay, push the sub up for bigger moments, or add more drive when you want the phrase to speak harder in the mix. Having those controls on macros means you can shape the bass quickly as the track develops. If you want even more aggression, add a third chain as an impact layer. This could be a copy of the sample pitched up and filtered, a bit of noise, or a heavily processed version of the bass. High pass it, distort it a little, maybe add erosion or more saturator, and keep it low in the mix. This layer should add bite and texture, not compete with the sub. It's the extra edge that helps the bass cut through chopped breaks and busy drum patterns. A really good way to think about this rack is like a drum instrument, not a pad or a synth bass line. Use short MIDI notes. Keep the rhythms deliberate. In old-school DNB and jungle, bass often acts like punctuation. It answers the drums, hits before the snare, or lands as a syncopated accent. It's not always a constant rumble. So try placing notes on the offbeats, just before fills, or as little call-and-response moments with the break. Also, don't ignore velocity. This is a big one. Velocity can make repeated notes feel alive. Map it to sample volume, decay, or filter cutoff if you want more performance variation. A slightly harder hit here and there can make the groove feel like it's breathing instead of looping mechanically. When you're checking the sound, always test it in context. Don't judge the rack only when soloed. A sub layer can sound massive on its own and then disappear once the kick and break are playing. Loop the full groove and make tiny offset adjustments while the drums are running. That's how you hear whether the phase and punch really work in the track. Also, don't fall into the trap of chasing more and more low bass. Often the strongest low end comes from a clean, focused fundamental plus useful harmonics in the 60 to 120 Hz region. You do not always need more energy below 40 Hz. In fact, too much of that can make the whole thing less powerful. For arrangement, this rack is incredibly useful. In the intro, you can keep it filtered or lower in level. In the drop, bring in the full sub plus sample plus impact layers. In a breakdown, mute the clean sub and leave just the textured sample layer. Then in a second drop, automate a little more drive or a slightly different sample start position so it feels evolved without changing the whole vibe. A great advanced move is to build two sample start zones from the same sample. One can start slightly earlier for more click and attack, while the other starts slightly later for more roundness and weight. Blend those with macros, and you've got a really flexible hard or soft character control. You can also split the rack by note range so lower notes stay cleaner and more sub-focused, while higher notes bring more bite and harmonic detail. Another smart trick is to make a ghost layer. Duplicate the sample. Low pass it heavily, and tuck it low in the mix. That can add density and body without sounding obvious. And if you want movement, add glide only to selected notes rather than every note. That gives you a more classic jungle feel without turning the whole bass line into a slide fest. When you're happy with the sound, resample it. This is very drum and bass. Printing the rack to audio lets you chop, reverse, and process the hits more aggressively. Sometimes the resampled version feels more glued together than the live rack, especially for fills and transition accents. Here's a simple practice exercise to lock it in. Load a short old-school bass sample into Sampler. Offset the start until it feels punchy. Layer assign sub and operator. Build your rack with at least four macros. Offset, sub level, drive, and decay. Write a four-bar MIDI phrase with a few main hits, a syncopated answer, and a fill note before the last bar. Then automate the drive a little in the final bar and resample the result. That will give you a feel for how this rack behaves musically, not just technically. So the big takeaway is this. The power of this old-school DNB sampler rack is not just in the sample itself. It's in where the sample starts, how tightly it's shaped, how the sub supports it, and how cleanly everything sits with the drums. Get those parts working together, and you've got a heavyweight low-end tool that can punch through jungle, rollers, and dark DNB with real authority. If you want, I can also turn this into a timed voiceover version with pauses and emphasis cues for recording.